May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 330. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. Hymn 330.
Oh, us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42. The book of the prophet Isaiah, reading chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is in therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman, I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Amen. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. O Lord, Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as we would come unto the Father through the Son, by the Spirit, and grant to us each here that true spirit of prayer, and help us to pray aright and not amiss, and do grant us a gracious influence of thy Holy Spirit, as we read, likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth a heart, who knoweth the mind of the Spirit, maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Lord, we pray for that grace, that in coming with our requests, our petitions, that we might pray according to the will of God. How a dear hymn writer would pen, O bend my will to thine. So Lord, we come as suppliants. Lord, we come as needy souls. Oh, may we not be found like the church of old at Laodicea, who had need of nothing. But Lord, in our gathering here tonight, oh, may we be found a needy people. And may that need be sanctified. And we be found a praying people. Oh, Lord, pouring out our hearts unto thee, as we gather together here on this evening hour of thy day. And may Jesus himself draw near and come with us. Lord, that is our need. We need thy gracious presence. Lord, we need thy divine help. Do we not prove that without thee we can do nothing? Pulpit, desk, or pew. Lord, without thy gracious help, we can do nothing. Without thy gracious influence, we can do nothing right. But Lord, as we gather here, so we gather for worship, and help us to worship thee, and to worship thee aright. May there be that true heart worship. And O Lord, who remember each one gathered, from the youngest to the eldest, and in all that concerns each one of us. For Lord, thou knowest the way that we take, the path that we walk. Thou knowest the concerns we may have spiritually, and the concerns we may have providentially. And O Lord, thou knowest those things which try us, trouble us, perplex and tease us, those things we cannot understand, those things we cannot lay straight, those things which seem so deep, so dark, so difficult. Oh, help us to look alone to thee, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, Lord, and yet many times in the storm, in the trial, in the darkness, the soul may cry out, "Carest thou not that we perish? No man cared for my soul." And O Lord, when the storm rages, continues, and all hope that we should be saved seems to be taken away, oh, that great fear, that great temptation, that thou dost not care. O Lord, do mercifully appear. Lord, grant us to know, to prove, and to feel he, the God of all grace, he, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, he who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind, he whose compassions fail not, he careth for you. Oh, Lord, do remember anyone here tonight struggling in things that have come upon them, in things that they are passing through. Oh, Lord, who would be found in our opening hymn, and yet fear that time of love will never come. Who's feel to be seeking but never finding, knocking but the door is never open, asking and not receiving. Who feel tempted to give up, tempted to turn back, tempted to feel there is no hope, no mercy, no Jesus, no God. Oh, Lord, who have mercy, we pray. Undertake for such and go to them. Lord, if this be not the appointed hour, then help them yet to press on, to cry on, still to cleave to thee and to thy word. And, oh, like the disciples of old, when questioned, "Will ye also go away?" Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, Lord, do remember any who often feels an absent God. I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Many unanswered prayers. Many matters where they need the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, the Lord to help. And yet there seems to be nothing. Oh, what grace, what faith. to go again 7 times. Oh Lord, do remember any in such fiery trials and great and deep troubles, deep waters. Lord, things which have come upon them, mountains rising up, things which are threatening, foreboding, things which are too hard for them. Oh Lord, do grant much grace and much help. Still to pray. Still to look. Still to wait. Lord, we would rejoice if any here who rejoice. And we would mourn with those who do mourn. Do remember each and every one in their pathway. Lord, do bless the dear children, the young people. Remember them each for good, and those who attend school and college and further education, and also the young people in the workplace. Lord, the many evils, the many temptations, the vanities of youth. Oh Lord, do mercifully be round about them. And put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. That unctuous light to all that is right, and yet also that bar to all that is wrong. Oh, do keep them, preserve them, bless them each. And may they be found of that generation to come, that generation which shall call thee the Redeemer blessed. Lord, remember all in the midst of life. Lord, again in this dark and evil day to which our lot has been cast, in which we live. Oh Lord, truly the days are evil. We need much grace and wisdom to walk uprightly, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, the ways of the world. And oh, how we need to be kept, how subtle Satan is, how devious. O Lord, who remember such, remember older friends also in senior years and weakness, infirmity. Lord, remember them, and Lord, any struggling in their health, those who have various conditions and ailments, afflictions and weaknesses, sanctify these things unto them. And if it would please thee, Lord, to lay thy healing hand upon such. We pray for all unable to be here tonight who would be here if they could. Lord, do remember them and bless them. Bless this cause of truth. And Lord, do continue to manifest thy favour. Oh, a city not forsaken. The Lord is here, working by thy almighty grace. And may there yet be others constrained to testify of what thou hast done, to put on Christ, to show whose they are and whom they serve, who is on the Lord's side. Oh, make manifest thy people. May there yet be Holy Ghost additions both to church and to congregation. Remember the officers of the church and grant much grace and wisdom and help in all that befalls them. Lord, help thy servants and minister here from time to time. Bless the preaching of the gospel. And all follow with thy blessing the truth set forth in thy name. Lord, do remember other causes gathering for worship this night. And wherever gospel has been preached, and we think of those places without a minister, where there's either been reading services, or sadly in some places no service at all, not having one to conduct a service, the doors are shut. Oh, look upon Zion, the city of thy solemnities. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And again, Lord, we beseech thee to raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry, men taught of God. Lord, there is yet a great need. Oh, be pleased yet to send forth labourers into thy harvest. Remember thy people throughout the whole world, where Lord's day in some places has now come to an end, in other lands yet beginning. But Lord, bless the gatherings of thy people and crown thy gospel with success. I pray especially for those who suffer persecution, oppression, opposition, isolation. Lord, remember them. We would be thankful for the liberties and freedoms that we have and enjoy, and I'll pray that they may be continued. Lord, we would bring before thee our land and nation at this critical time. Lord, mercifully intervene. Oh, we do tremble and fear at what we deserve, a nation that has forsaken God. Oh, Lord, a nation that had been so highly favoured and blessed, but has now turned from thee, and the great cry is, we will not have this man to reign over us. Any religion but that which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we fear thy rod. We fear thy judgments. We fear thy wrath. But, Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Grant heavenly wisdom to our leaders and show them, Lord, what they should do the right way. Oh, Lord, save us from our enemies. Oh, Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Hear the cries of thy people who sigh and cry over the abominations done in our land, and know what Israel ought to do. Now, Lord, do remember us each. Help us through this service. Shine upon thy word that we may see light in thy light. Pardon and forgive all that we've asked amiss, where we've failed and come so far short, our poor prayer. Following this service, Lord, take each one back to their homes in peace and in safety, and grant thy blessing, and go before us each in the unknown way, to guide us with thy counsel, and afterward to receive us to glory. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Remember one thing, oh, may it sink deep. Our shepherd and king cares much for his sheep. To trust him endeavour, the work is his own. He makes the believer and gives him his crown. Hymn 804.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we've read together from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, and considering verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The Lord's people in their pathways are in great need of comfort from time to time. The Lord's dealings with them, the way that they must go, in things that they are called to pass through. There are various troubles, the greatest of which surely is soul trouble. And yet the Lord has promised and will comfort his people. There are many, many comforts to be found in the Word of God. The book of the prophet Isaiah especially, there are so many comforts. You may have heard of this before, but as the Bible has 66 books, so the book of the prophet Isaiah has 66 chapters. And the Old Testament containing 39 books. And we just think of the chapter 40, as it were, setting forth a New Testament of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Or it's what the child of God longs for, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To be enabled to say, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Friend, my Husband, my Counsellor, my all and in all, comfort ye. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never feel their woe? I trust there are those of you here tonight who long for this comfort, who long for this consolation, to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine and I am his. Oh, what an exhortation is given here to the prophet Isaiah, to set forth the word of God. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Over setting forth of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And throughout the chapters, especially but not exclusively of Isaiah, the latter chapters, we see so much of the Lord Jesus. He who came to save his people from their sins. And if our religion is real, then we shall be taught by the Holy Ghost our need of such a Saviour. we shall know ourselves to be sinners. We shall know something of that conviction of sin. We shall know something of that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. We shall know something of that need of the Lord Jesus to save us from all of our sins. Or we shall feel our need of his precious blood and his spotless robe of righteousness. Now, if the Lord is teaching us these things, surely the Lord is leading us forth by the right way. And we have that there in Psalm 107. And the way the Lord will lead his people. The redeemed, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, not naturally but spiritually. That spiritual appetite, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. That need of salvation, that need of redemption, that need of Christ, that need of God's mercy, that need of pardon, that need of forgiveness, all that need of the right way. The strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Then prayer. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Again, soul trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. How? And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The right way must be Christ. Or was it one of the disciples who said to the Lord Jesus, "And how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now there in the psalm we read of those who were gathered. Here in our text we read of those who are brought, and I will bring. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Now, what I desire to notice first is what God will do. Four times here in our text we have "I will," the last one being "will I." What the Lord will do for his people. He will call them by his grace. He will give to them the gift of the Holy Ghost. They shall be born again. The Lord will impart spiritual life, no longer dead in trespasses and in sins, but now a living soul, a needy soul. Oh, what the Lord will do to them, he will save them with an everlasting salvation. But that soul, being a child of God, must know something of the Lord's dealings with his soul. And there must be that awakening. There must be that quickening. There must be that spiritual life. Mine just seems to go to the prodigal son. And at that time, yet in a far-off country, and he began to be in want. Is there one here this evening? And perhaps that describes you very well. And he began to be in want. Now, we can look at the parables, can't we? We can see it in a natural light. We can see a real son. We can see a father. We can see the famine and we can see the need. But may the Lord help us to view it spiritually. In sin's dark maze, we wandered far. like that prodigal, wandered from the ways of God, wandered far from God. But really, the first thing the Lord did for that prodigal son, to see it in a spiritual sense, was to send that famine. And that famine had an effect. Of course, in the days in which we live, and in the country in which we live, we know absolutely nothing of a real famine. But to be in such a country at such a time, and then to have a grievous famine come upon, wherein there is virtually no or very, very little food. And remember, he had spent all. And he began to be in want. When the Lord begins that work of grace in the hearts of his people, by and by, they shall become in want. They shall be in want. Not naturally, not physically necessarily, although the Lord does sanctify afflictions, troubles and trials, but it will concern your never-dying soul. Do you know of such a want concerning your never-dying soul? Or it may be that outwardly things are going well. You may be in a day of prosperity. You may feel in a natural sense the Lord is smiling upon you. But oh, it's your soul. Your never-dying soul. You now consider matters not in the light of time, but in the light of eternity. Where shall I spend eternity? Our poor finite minds cannot comprehend eternity, eternity past, eternity to come. We just cannot understand things without a beginning, without an end. And yet by faith we would believe the word of God. We would believe the truth set forth in the word of God. And being brought to consider eternity, and to consider that we have never-dying souls, and then to consider the two places, if you will, of eternity, heaven or hell. There is no other. There is no annihilation. Or there is no place that the carnal world or mind may seek to dream up. We would believe in the word of God, in heaven and hell, the glories of one, the horrors of another. Not one fallen son or daughter upon this earth deserves heaven. What a leveller. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone born into this world is born as a sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Now, these things may be understood in the head. They may be understood, as it were, as it is written in the Word of God. But where the Lord makes his people feel and know that they are sinners, not just to say, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. To be brought to that dark place where that soul now sees how they have sinned against God. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Now, at first, it may be outward sins, it may be sins of deed, it may be the sins of our youth. But where the Lord grants that, or gives that conviction of sin, then there will be that godly sorrow. Of course, we're living in very, very evil days, and all around us, sins are counted but as little things, insignificant things. It doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with that, we hear. But if our religion is real, if we're truly convicted of our sins and we're brought to see the solemnity of being a guilty sinner before an holy God, and the consequences of sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, even hell. And he began to be in want, if you will, and he began to be in need. Oh, need of a way to escape, need of mercy, or in need of pardon, forgiveness, or in need of one who is able to save his never dying soul. And you see how the Lord will teach his people the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. All before Jesus Christ may be known in the letter and through the Bible as a character, a person, one in whom others believed. But that time will come when that soul will feel their need of the Lord Jesus. Oh, not their need to just become a Christian, to have, as it were, a label, to say that I'm a Christian. No, real religion is more the notion something must be known and felt. And real religion is of the Holy Ghost. And a Holy Ghost religion will lead that soul unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the one thing needful. The one thing needful. And I will, what the Lord does. You see, it's all of grace. It's all of God. It shall redound to his honour and to his glory. Or that Christ shall have the preeminence. But it's what the Lord will do. What the Lord will do. There's so much in false religion of what man does. The I will of man. Man who thinks he can save himself, redeem himself, do his part, do his bit. And how he will glory in the flesh. How he will trust in his own self-righteousness, in his own efforts, in his own works. Something else the Lord will do for his people. Strip them of every thread of their self-righteousness. And lay them very, very, very low in the dust. Yes, the Lord will humble his people under his mighty hand. And they shall be brought down. They shall be brought as low to the footstool of his mercy, as the Lord brought you there, to the footstool of his mercy. Oh, not to come before him in a proud, pretentious, self-righteous way, to tell him how good you are and to tell him all about your chapel attendance and Bible reading and your godly parents and this, that and the other. Not to tell him about the good that you do and the evil that you think that you do not. But to be brought right down as a guilty sinner, to put your mouth in the dust, to lay prostrate before the Lord and to confess what a sinner you are. And to confess what you deserve. Oh, there to confess all your sins. Not just sins of deed, but sins also of word, the tongue, a little member, but oh, how unruly. And also sins of thought. Oh, when a child of God is brought to consider, be convicted of his sins of thought and what evil thoughts rise up in our minds. In the days of Noah, God saw the wickedness of man how that his every thought was evil. And are we any better? Do we feel to be more holy? The child of God is brought to know something of his sins of thought, the imagination of his mind only evil continually. Or what thoughts rise up in our hearts? Let me just touch upon one or two. And are we not all guilty of this at times? Seekest thou great things for thyself? Our proud hearts constantly want to seek great things for ourselves. And where there's pride, so there's lust, so there's covetousness, so there's wantonness, so there's greed. Touch upon another sinful thought. And this brought the fiery serpents upon the children of Israel, that thought of murmuring. Yes, we may murmur one to another, we may murmur of certain things, but in our minds, how often do we murmur against the Lord's will, the Lord's ways, the Lord's dealings, the Lord humbling us under his mighty hand? And we have such murmuring thoughts, and what of that sin of unbelief? That besetting sin of unbelief. How much unbelief do we have? Well, if you consider a pair of balances as they were in olden times, the one set against the other, you put unbelief in one balance, you put faith in the other, faith being the opposite of unbelief. How much faith have you got? Are you strong in faith, giving glory of God? Are you always strong in faith? Or are you constantly troubled by that besetting sin of unbelief? Ah, so many of the Lord's dear people fear that they have so much unbelief, limiting the Holy One of Israel, neglecting prayer. Oh, it is a grief, it is a sorrow, it is to be confessed over. And all that desire for faith, more faith. All these sins to be confessed. As a child of God is brought to the footstool of God's mercy, is brought to the feet of Jesus. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. That is, spiritually blind in and of themselves, because they would never bring themselves there. Oh, no soul in and of itself will ever bring themselves to the footstool of God's mercy. That soul is so blind. Oh, I cannot see without thy light. But it's what the Lord does in his great love and mercy unto that never dying soul. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And as the Lord draws his people, the Lord only draws his people one way, unto him, unto me, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Ah, but it's where the Lord will bring his people to his mercy seat. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Well, for many years, Saul of Tarsus thought he was a praying man. But he never had the testimony of heaven that behold, he prayeth. He was in paths of his own choosing, paths of his own self-righteousness, paths of his own Pharisaical pride, paths of his own doing, his own works, his own merits. But now the Lord calls him by his grace and gathers him from the hand of the enemy, and now leads him forth by the right way. I will lead them in paths that they have not known, all to the footstool of God's mercy. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now behold, he prayeth. All to have the testimony of heaven that behold, he prayeth. prayeth. Well, as it was, if we just follow Saul of Tarsus, I will make darkness light before them. You remember how great darkness came upon him. For that time he was so dark, and oh, he may have felt it spiritually to be in such darkness. He knew himself to be such a great sinner, and he knew that he had sinned against God. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All such darkness must have covered his soul. Oh, what hope is there for me? Oh, can there be salvation or redemption for me? He would have known the Old Testament scriptures in their original Hebrew. And perhaps in those 3 days and three nights when he neither ate nor drunk, and we cannot imagine what darkness he was passing through, as perhaps the prophecies of Christ were now being opened to him, and how he had persecuted the disciples of Jesus. And now such light was coming in that this Jesus was a Messiah, the Anointed One, the Saviour of sinners. And yet I will make darkness light before them. And how Ananias came, brother Saul, and there fell, as it were, scales from his eyes, and he saw. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. All this is what the soul longs for. That sight by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus only, my Lord, my Saviour, I will make darkness light before them. It may not be instantaneous, immediate, as we have it on some mornings where following the dark night, the day may be a dark day and the dawn just gradually begins. Over sometimes it just gradually begins to get lighter and lighter. Well, sometimes that is the Lord's dealings with his people. Or they feel to be in such darkness, and they feel to continue in such darkness. But the Lord yet causes that light to shine before them. And we know even in nature that the darkness must give way to light. Where there's light, whether it's artificial, natural, that darkness must give way. You go into a very, very dark place, you go into a cave, and there's no natural light, and it's pitch black, you cannot see a thing. Well, even a tiny candle, a flicker, would give light, because the darkness must give way to the light. And I will make darkness light before them. Oh, was it not that man whom the Lord Jesus anointed the eyes and asked him what he could see? I can see men as trees walking. He saw something, but not clearly. Perhaps as those here tonight, you see something, but not clearly. You see yourself as a lost and ruined sinner, a guilty sinner. You see what your sins deserve. You see that need of salvation, that need of Christ, that need of sin-atoning blood, that need of spotless righteousness, that need of the way of life. But all you cannot see clearly. As it were, you see men as trees walking. Oh, you long for that light. I will make darkness light before them to see clearly. Oh, for the Lord again to touch your eyes. And then he saw men clearly. I believe the first man he saw was the Lord Jesus. I will make darkness light before them. Another character comes to mind, and that is Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. When he died, oh, what darkness there. But then in that dark, dark tomb, in that cave, where the first thing was, they took away the stone. Well, the light would have shone somewhat into that cave, into that tomb. But then the voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And he came forth out of darkness into the light, literally, naturally. The tomb would have been dark. He came out of the tomb. He came out of darkness. Outside was light, and he came into the light again, gradually. But again, he was still wrapped in those grave clothes and a napkin. Well, just perhaps, I don't want to push it too far, that even with a napkin, he could have that sense of light. It wasn't pitch black. It was that sense of coming to the light. I like what I heard concerning Lazarus in grave clothes and hearing that voice coming out of the light and perhaps shuffling his way along, not having that freedom of movement, but every little shuffling step was towards the Saviour. Well, again, perhaps that describes one tonight. You feel that darkness, you would come unto the light. But oh, you feel those grave clothes, you feel your sins, you feel your guilt, you feel your shame, you feel so deathly. But oh, you would, as enabled, be drawn, be brought and led unto the light. I am the light of the world. Every little shuffling step unto Christ. And again, if we can just keep with Lazarus, who had called him, Lazarus, come forth. The Lord called him. He came. The Lord calls poor sinners and they come. They come to him. But loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I will make darkness light before them. Or perhaps that is what you long for, you pray for, you beg for. That loose him and let him go, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh, you long for that light to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Spiritually crooked things, how can I be saved? What hope is there for me? All things seem so crooked, your sin seems so crooked, your guilt, your shame, your sorrow, everything seems so crooked. It may be in this way. You've heard or read of the testimonies of others, and with them things were so clear-cut, things were so straightforward. This happened, that happened, the other happened, and I was led in that way. Well, perhaps with you, you look back over the Lord's dealings with you, everything seemed crooked. Nothing seems to be straight, nothing seems to be clear. Or you wonder if it is the Lord's dealings with your soul. Or you wonder if you've ever been born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit. And I will make crooked things straight. Oh, when the Lord shines, when the Lord appears, so often it's looking back. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, it's looking back to see the Lord's hand, looking back to see the Lord's dealings, looking back to see how all things work together for good. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. No, when the Lord begins that work of grace, he will never forsake them. He will do these things unto them, these wonderful things to bring them by a way that they knew not, lead them in paths that they have not known, make darkness light before them and crooked things straight, to bring them unto the Lord Jesus and to grant them that saving knowledge of him, to be found in him. Well, there is also the pathway. I think I quoted earlier, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. and few there be that find it. And those few are the redeemed of the Lord. Those few are those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit. Those few are those who live the life of faith. You see, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? By faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Oh, the pathway, the child of, it's a narrow way. Now, don't look at it now, but when you get home, if you feel led, you read that hymn of Joseph Hart, I think it's 308, on the narrow way. It's in two parts, I believe there's 14 verses in the two parts. In the first part, speaking really of the impossibilities of the way, the seemingly apparent impossibilities of a narrow way, because it's so narrow, it's so hard, it's so rough, it's so trying. But then the second part, if this be Lord the way, then who can hope to gain? Ah, 'tis thy almighty grace that shall alone suffice. Thou givest us grace to run the race and then bestows the crown. Now the narrow way. And just in the time remaining, I just feel led to speak a little of this narrow way which leadeth unto life. A way which can only be walked by faith, looking unto Jesus, that is, that dependence upon him. In this modern age, there is so much about being independent. Well, being independent is to have your own way and your own will. I must just quote from you from chapter 55. This is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, what a great stumbling block is our will, our way, our thoughts. You see here, God speaking, I will. Well, the child of God still has the old man of grace. The old man of sin. And the old man of sin will have his own will, his own mind, his own thoughts, his own lusts, his own desires. And if we know anything of the Lord's dealings with us, or we know that we need our will bent to his will, thy will be done at times can be the hardest prayer to pray. It may involve bitter disappointment. It may involve many, many tears. Oh, it may involve such great sorrows and sadness. Now, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good. As we spoke at the outset of how the child of God needs these comforts, and oh, in the pathway, what comforts we need. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Or it may be that we're striving in a particular way for a particular thing. Well, we need to be made blind. Made blind to our own way, our own thoughts, our own considerations. Again, seekest out great things for thyself. Seek them not, but seek to know and do the will of God. May this be our great burden, like Saul of Tarsus, who had become the Apostle Paul and had to walk it out. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I've often been struck by that we read of in Acts, the pathway, literally, of the Apostle, as they went on his missionary journeys. Now, when we had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach a word in Asia, they were forbidden to go that way. Thy will be done. After they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, thy will be done. And now they may have been perplexed and troubled. What was the Lord's way? What is the Lord's will? And thus they were exercised, and being exercised, they made it a matter of prayer. To know the mind and will of God, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. You see, they were blind. They didn't know the way. They were called to wait upon God. Now, if you're anything like me, you may feel to be very impatient at times. And when we're impatient, we begin to fret, don't we? Then we begin to murmur and to complain and even rebel. Or we may be very agitated and very troubled. We don't like waiting. We want immediate answers of prayer. We want the Lord to appear now. But the Lord may be saying, wait. And what grace we need at times to wait. Well, with the apostle, it was soon after. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord made it plain. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Sometimes in waiting, and waiting long, there is that fear, that temptation, that the Lord has forsaken. And when that fear and temptation comes into our mind, then again another temptation is to take matters into our own hands. Again, from being impatient to trying to go before the Lord. And that will never do. I thought earlier of Elijah. The Lord clearly led him to Cherith. There he must abide. And what a trial it must have been as surely the stream, the brook, began to dry up. And in that natural sense, that was his life. And then to see it reduced to a trickle. And then all the water to stop. Then the word of the Lord came unto him. God is never before his time. And never too late. As for God, his way is perfect, but the word of the Lord is tried, but he is a buckler unto all them that trust in him. And he was directed, not a way he would have chosen, even to Zarephath, a city from where Jezebel came. And no doubt all the idolatry there, all the heathen there, that is where he must go. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There he must go that long journey north, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they had not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. You see, Elijah hadn't planned all these things out in his mind. He was being given divine guidance, led by the Lord. And even there, it was the supply of his need. No great things there. That barrel of meal, that cruse of oil was just a sufficiency every day, a miracle every day. But my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That dependence upon God. Being blind to our own way, our own thoughts. Not going before the Lord, but being led. That is to follow him whithersoever he goeth. Oh, it may be in paths that we have not known, have not considered, have not thought of. But you see, the Lord, he often shuts doors. And this can be very trying, very painful at times. But when the Lord does open a door and you see the hand of the Lord in it, you know it's the Lord's way. And often the Lord deals with his people, and others around, they look on, they cannot understand. They criticise, they find fault. Why are you doing that? Why are you going there? Why have you done that? Well, the soul stands before the Lord. You see, with Elijah, he must be faithful to the Lord his God, to know and do his will. Doesn't matter what man says. Man so often doesn't understand. I was extremely helped, I suppose. Those of you who may have read that recent book about the late Mr. Shaw. There was a time when he was working in the Midlands and offered a wonderful promotion, I think it was, actually to Nottingham, where he would end up as pastor, but it's years before that time. I don't think he's even preaching at this time. And with the promotion, there was a large increase in salary. They, I think, promised to give him removal expenses as well and do everything for him. Well, he made it a matter of prayer. Because he was a child of God, it was a decision he didn't want to take. He wanted the Lord to take it for him. Lord, what should I do? I forget how the Lord answered, but the Lord said no. So he said to the employers, whoever, no. And somebody actually called him a fool for turning down such a promotion. He had a clear conscience. He said, the Lord said no, that was sufficient. If the Lord said yes, he would have gone. And really, that is how we should live our lives. Ye who fear God, who desire to know and do his will. It won't be the easy way. It won't be the straightforward way. Oh, it will be a way of much tribulation. So many trials, so many problems, so many difficulties. A way to keep us humble. A way to keep us dependent. A way to keep us walking by faith and not by sight. A way to keep us looking unto Jesus, leaning upon our beloved, but the right way. The right way, dear friend, is the Lord's way. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. And he led them forth by the right way. Well, both spiritually, providentially, may we be found in that way. Again, I just repeat, it won't be the easy way. Endure hardness is a word to every child of God. And so, all that need of comfort, spiritual comforts and comforts from time to time, to hear the Lord's voice, to know his will, to do that which is right in his sight, and to walk by faith and not by sight. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them.
Collections last Lord's Day were £727.50, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard, followed by a short church meeting. Mr. Stephen Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who also will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Now, friends at Oakington hope to open their refurbished chapel on Saturday afternoon when, God willing, two baptisms will take place, the service at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
Thank you.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.